You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. We've got a full studio again for the second show in a row. Full studio.
I can talk, but suddenly I feel like John and George on the Ed Sullivan Show. So, well, because they both sang in the same mic.
Who?
John.
The Ed Sullivan Show, wasn't that 100 years ago?
Oh, never mind.
Anyway, so. Yeah.
So who's here?
Who's here?
All right, so I'm Sam Tweedle.
Martin Bruda. And we got a special guest with us here today.
Kevin Briones.
There you go.
Sweet. And Sam, you're supposed to be sharing a mic with me and not making our guest uncomfortable.
Have I made you uncomfortable so far?
You're making me uncomfortable watching it.
Have you read the Discipline from Image Comics?
No, right. Not yet.
All right, take his microphone away.
Yes, Sam's banned from that microphone. So, I don't know, Marty, do we want to get started right with Kevin? Or
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
So,
all right.
Kevin here has created a comic book called Neon Black. So I'll let Kevin let us know how much he wants to tell us about the comic book without spoilers, because I know Gilpin's listening. And he's all like, spoilers!
And by the way, I just want to say, Chris is under the weather, so I guess he has a man cold. Which is a lot like a man thing, apparently.
That's because I sneezed all over him last time.
But isn't it it's kind of like man thing, just a lot more snotty?
No, it means you're laying there in bed, you're going, call my mother.
Right. And watching Doctor Who, because he's watching Doctor Who.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Where is he at with Doctor Who?
Repeats.
Is it like third Doctor, fourth Doctor, or new Doctor?
He's watching Matt Smith.
Damn it, Chris, why aren't you watching John Pertwee? Okay, so
as we were saying, this is Kevin. Kevin's going
to
talk about comic books. Yahoovian.
Right, hi.
Thanks for being with us, Kevin. Like, okay, so seriously, this is really exciting. And I think the one thing that blew us all away is the fact that you're a Peterborough guy.
Yeah.
So are you born and raised in Peterborough? Or
I grew up in Peterborough.
Okay.
Moved here when I was in grade 3.
Yeah, so what year are we looking at there? You look a lot younger than the rest of us.
Very long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't age. He levels up.
There
nice.
You go.
Nice. I love it.
Did you see
all
that
right,
Instagram?
So yeah. You know what? Let's bring it all back. Let's bring it back to something we can all relate to. Is when you were growing up in Peterborough, where did you buy your comics and how'd you get into it? How'd you get into the whole comic industry, both as a fan and creating your own?
Well, first it started off with, I've always been drawing since I was a little kid, and I was mostly by way of my dad, who was he was an illustrator on his own.
Oh, that's so far out. What did he used to illustrate?
Well, he just his own stuff.
That's so cool.
Like he would, he drew a lot of like Conan-esque kind of characters.
Sort of very very Frazetta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very Frazetta. Very kind of Neil Adams. Type,
very cool. So you kind of got that influence from your father.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I saw him do that and I was like, yeah, I want to do that too. And I just kept on.
So were comics like in your home generally? Like was it something you grew up with because it was in the home, or was this something you had to go out and find out about yourself?
It wasn't until, my parents, they came from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And once my dad saw that I was taking interest in comics, he like just made the call back home for him to bring over his huge collection of comic books.
So you were getting all this stuff from the Philippines and from Asia. So was it like a lot of the manga and...
No. It's like we're looking at like classic like Green Lantern and like Green Arrow.
So they were reading... In the Philippines, they were reading what we... You know, so they did... Did they not have their own unique comic industry there?
I think they do.
But your old man is like the North American stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, you look at a lot of the comic artists now. There's a lot of famous Filipino artists out there, right?
So definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so great.
Yeah.
So So where did you buy comics? What were some of the stuff you were reading that really influenced you?
Like Dixon's was a really big influence
Dixon,
for
Dixon's,
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, like I remember with Dixon's, kind of my first big memory of it was like I got the first, that X-Men, the variant cover.
Yeah. The one where you had like the five covers.
All five covers.
And then you had the big cover at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Getting all of those there.
And you felt like a champ.
Yeah.
Until you found them all for $1.
Yeah.
Later on. That was about 10 years later we found them for $1.
Yeah.
But it was so hard to get all five at first. It was like...
Oh, but Dixon's had all of them, right? All of them. And I got them all signed, too.
Oh, there
which
you
is
go.
A good one. So.
Who'd you get them signed by?
Jim Lee.
You met Jim Lee?
Yeah. Hey,
where'd you see him?
At Fan Expo.
When was Jim Lee at Fan Expo?
I think it was 2009, maybe? Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was I still going back then?
And I think that was even my first Fan Expo fan? Going as a fan.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed that year.
Well, that was the year that Dan was there, Dan DiDio.
He was there for a number of years in a row, though, because I used to chase him around after him about Swing with Scooter.
And I'm getting in trouble for bringing up comic strips. Swing with Scooter, Ed Sullivan Show.
So I want to Swing with Scooter... we'll talk about that later. Actually, I have a really cool story I told these guys
Before you get into that, how about we ask Kevin about his actual comic
book? That's why I'm saying we're not going to talk about that right now. Like, let's not talk about that.
This is like hockey. You got to get in there with your elbows.
I'm having fun just watching this show happen. I've been listening, ever since I first met you guys, I started kind of binge listening to the past episodes. Now I get to put faces to the voices.
How's that working out for
you? And actually...
Are we everything you were hoping for?
You're comic book guys.
We're all a lot uglier, aren't we? Yeah.
You guys are a lot taller than we thought you were.
How did you get out of my radio? Anyway.
Is this real life?
Is this just fantasy? Okay, anyway. So back to the discipline. Yeah, I haven't read that one yet.
No, I have not.
No, you should check that out. You should read the discipline and then tell me what it's about, because I have no idea.
But you're going to hate it when that gets canceled. What are you going to do? Go back to Xenoscope?
I'm never going back.
Has anybody read the discipline?
Well, I have.
Oh.
But Marty,
I've got the first issue. That's it.
Okay, I think our friend Dan, not this Dan, Tall Dan. Dan has them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know, but you don't write the discipline, so let's not talk about it. Let's talk about your book. All right, so obviously, what's the first... Yeah, so tell me how you started creating comics. Was this something you started doing when you were a teenager, or did you fall into it?
Yeah, it was something that I've made since... I've been doing comics since I was a little kid, just writing my own little things. It was actually, like, kind of took place of, like, my diary, I guess.
Wow.
So instead of, like, writing out my feelings, I would kind of, draw myself as a superhero
were they semi-biographical or
somewhat?
That's pretty cool,
and I would just kind of like what's the word, I would turn certain situations into like, this is a supervillain kind of thing, right?
So like your history teacher
or
that guy that was macking on your girl.
Or that guy who reads Luann all the time.
Anyway,
the guy asking me if I've read the discipline.
How did I become the supervillain in his story?
This is gonna be brilliant.
Neon Black Book 2.
But Marty was a supervillain in a comic once.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, kind of. Depends who you ask.
Yeah. Well. Anyways, he was a supervillain, but it's okay. He's the supervillain of my life, so it's all good.
Now apparently I'm a cat.
You're a cat. What's that?
Did you miss that whole thing?
No. What's that about?
The guys that are doing Auric, right?
Yeah. You know,
we've got little cameos in Auric.
Well, I haven't seen that yet. Am I in Auric?
Yeah, yeah. You're in.
Really?
No, maybe not. I'm not
I'm
sure.
In Die Kitty Die.
I think I saw the top of Chris's head, and I saw Dan and me.
Yeah, I don't think I'm in Auric, because I've never given them as much love and support and money as you guys have.
Davis and Andrew are working on issue 2 now, right? So they post on Facebook that they're working on issue 2.
Yeah.
And of course, in my typical sarcastic humor, I'm like, you lazy layabouts and you loafers, and get back to work and let's get... And then Andrew's like, yeah, you're going to be a cat. So he drew the panel with, instead of my face, it's a face of a cat.
Do you do realize that I love Cat Marty more than
exactly.
you, right?
Like Cat Marty.
And then, of course, Davis kicks in, the adventures of Meowton. Instead of Martin, and everybody just starts piling on top. It was just—it's pretty
this
hilarious.
This just shows you how isolated I've been over the last 6 weeks.
Oh, it's hilarious!
How did
it's,
I miss
it's funny
this?
Funny as heck.
Yeah, so I want to be in Auric.
There you go. See, exactly.
Put me in, Andrew. Put right. me in.
Did you know? Did you know that my cat Amy Meowhess was in an issue of Patsy Walker, aka?
Yeah, that doesn't count. That was the letter column.
Well, anyway, she was. So, anyways, let's get back to your books.
Yeah. Should we get back? Should we actually start on his comic book? Let alone get back to.
Why don't you tell me to shut up and you take okay. over? You're the guy who's actually read the book.
Sam, shut up. All right, Neon Black.
Okay.
If you're like.
I just want to say that cover is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yours is pretty wicked.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, like I said, give us a little synopsis of the comic, spoiling as much as you want. Because
all right.
I know there's a little bit of a cliffhanger on the end, and I'm not going to say anything. So.
Well, it's, I mean, the first book kind of just goes over like the whole premise of it, which is about a girl, Alice, who finds out that her real parents are supervillains. And, you know, the twist is her adopted parents are the superheroes that kidnapped her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
So she's got
a... It's kind of a little bit of a Runaways
yep.
thing there. Were you inspired by the Runaways or
not really? It didn't
nah,
really
it's something you came
yeah.
up with. Sorry,
yeah.
I've never read the Runaways. Anyways, I don't know what. Yeah, actually, I have.
Well, I was thinking New Gods there with the you know
sure,
with,
sure.
Light Ray and
Scott.
Sorry, Scott Free and
it was Orion.
Orion, that's
Orion,
the guy
right?
Of,
they were
getting swapped.
They were swapped
at
birth.
And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you run into the same thing. Like, everybody says Empire Strikes Back is better than Star Wars. But
yeah.
that's because you spend, you know, time setting up, like you said, the premise,
well, it has
the
backstory,
plot, the characters
right?
so, and stuff. Yeah.
And
so a lot of first issues for me, anyway, suffer quite a bit from that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find that with yours at all. Like, it paced really well, and mm-hmm. you did the intros and everything, but it was still, you know, it trucked along really nice. It was really good.
This is absolutely beautiful work.
And I was trying to keep from being as expositional
yeah.
as possible,
yeah, exactly.
right? So without having to, like, spell everything out, right? So,
yeah.
you know, it's funny that you say that, like, Empire Strikes Back was better than A New Hope in that, like, I had a previous storyline that was kind of, you know, kind of toying mm-hmm. around with. Like, I had a few issues of another storyline called The Go-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that provided... the kind of the backstory to Neon Black.
Will we eventually see that story? Maybe like an issue like 7 or 10 or
I think
yeah,
yeah I think maybe yeah like we will go and revisit that.
Go backwards.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about Alice. That's her name, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's her name.
I thought that was right. Alice. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So she's she's trained to be a superhero. But up until now she hasn't really discovered anything kind of super about her, right? So, you know, and she knows she's adopted, so she has, like, those feelings, too,
mm-hmm.
of, like, okay, so I've got these gods as parents, and I'm just kind of trucking along, kind of trying to stick with the program here.
Mom and Dad don't understand me.
I'm normal.
I can't measure up.
When did
I can only leap tall puddles in a single bound, not buildings.
When did the first issue come out?
First issue came out in April.
April? When's the second issue coming out?
Second issue, I'm aiming for October.
Okay, so there's a bit of a gap of schedule. I mean, that's mm-hmm. when you're one guy doing it all for a small company, that has to be expected.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask you about. I mean, because you're obviously self-publishing this and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. What,
mm-hmm.
how'd that work out? Like, what were your feelings on that? Did you have some experience self-publishing, or did you just follow somebody else's lead? Or
it was, you know, I had, you know, my you know how I originally had that limited run of 100.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was just like 100 out of my pocket, just to kind of like, just to test how that, mm-hmm. you know, how that would go, right? And, you know, I didn't know what to expect really in terms of like selling a book. But then from doing that initial 100, it kind of opened the doors to, you know, meeting Andrew and Davis and, you know, talking to Jason Liu and, you know, just like meeting lots of people from just the independent comic book community.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of showed me the ropes of like, okay, so there's this, you can try this to, for, you know, places to go to get stuff printed or, you know.
It seems like to me, like it's almost as if Jason Liu has kind of written a roadmap, almost a textbook on how to how to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with his Pitiful Human Lizard. So we've been following Pitiful Human Lizard for quite a while. Oh,
yeah. Pitiful Human Lizard's just a riot.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, not to gush too much, because, I mean, you know, just because you're here, we don't want to like embarrass you or anything, but like it's really a polished
it's gorgeous
book.
Like I'm looking at this and
like I got another independent book here and we won't mention names, but like if you just take a look at the text, it's overflowing in balloons and just like all these little technical things, right? And yours looks like as polished as something that's professionally published, so I'd be really surprised if you don't get a phone call from, you know, someone like Chapter House or something like that.
Have you talked to Chapter House?
Not yet. You know, I'm,
well, hey, Chapter House, get on this. Get on this right now. Don't let this guy get stolen by Image or something, because that's what's coming up next. You don't get on him right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So make that happen.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, I think like my goal is, I mean, definitely not to close any opportunities, but, you know, I've got a 4-book, story arc kind of planned. And then, you know, once that's done, you know, that's what I'm kind of like hoping to really do a big push on, you know, see where else it can
where else you can go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's yeah, great. Especially like you said, you know, if you got a 4-issue run, you go to another publisher and it's like, well, you know, we get so many submissions. You're like, okay, well, here's 4 finished, complete comic books. Here's, you know, an entire arc. This is start to finish what's possible and what I can accomplish. And I think that goes a heck of a lot way than just showing a portfolio.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's really cool.
What kind of response have you got from the book so far?
It's been amazing.
Isn't that a good feeling?
Yeah, it's great. You know, like, you know, in terms of like sales, like that initial 100 that I went through, like that, oh, what was it? Like Niagara? I think it was Niagara or Ottawa, one of those. I had just sold like the last of the 100.
What'd that feel like when you sold that last 100, like that last book? Like what was going on inside of you?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah,
it was exploding, right? And at the same time, I was like, oh no, this is the last one. I don't know.
But okay, think about those guys. You've been going to conventions since at least 2009.
Yeah.
Me and Marty's been doing them for even longer than that.
Yeah.
When did you go to your first convention, Dan?
Probably around 2009, 2010.
Okay.
My first convention was in a hotel ballroom.
Okay.
And it was nothing but long boxes on tables. Where just was a bunch of smelly guys.
Where was that?
I was in Toronto at a Holiday Inn, I think, downtown.
Okay. I know my first convention was 1999 for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it was Fan Expo 1999 was my first one. And Kevin Smith was the guest that year.
Wow.
I met Joe Quesada. Lou Ferrigno, he's at every show, right?
You know,
right?
Lou Ferrigno's at every one.
He's at every one. Anywhere where you can find a $5 bill, Lou Ferrigno will be right there looking for it, you know. But anyways.
Well, I still remember the Paradise Comic Con before it got bought out.
I love Paradise. That was my favorite. I used to go to that every year. But but I remember there was this, Peterborough tried to do a crappy Comic Con back in the early 90s or late 80s, early 90s.
Well, there was when I worked security at Peterborough Square, they had a comic book and sport card show at the Red Oak Inn Hotel.
That's
there. Probably the one you're
thinking
of.
That was the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, I was there. And I remember buying a copy of The Killing Joke, and then it disturbed me so much that I gave it to a kid at school. Yeah, I was in grade 7. I don't know who sold a grade 7 kid The Killing Joke, and I was like, I can't read this. I don't even want it in my house. And I gave it to this kid at school. You take it.
Hey, Shark Barbara.
It's like totally, but yeah, it was at that Red Oak Inn one. Yeah, that must have been about 87, 88.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I remember
89.
I remember they. Yeah, I remember they had a guy who had he had like a Babe Ruth ball.
Yeah.
Signed by Babe Ruth, but you could even like look at it.
Well, that was the.
Yeah, I mean, it was like don't go near it. Yeah. You know?
It roped off with vinyl ropes.
And yeah, it was like, but my eyes are really bad, sir. Don't even look at it. Just know the ball's there.
That was back when the McDonald's had those hockey cards.
Oh, yeah.
That they handed out.
So, love with,
so I used to have, you know, security guard at the mall. What do you eat, right? Except $2 Big Mac combos because McDonald's bribing you to run up there if there's ever a problem. So I had so many of these cards in my pockets. Kids were like, start coming up to me like, hey, you got a Brett Hull? You got this? You got that? So I ended up making like 7 or 8 sets out of the darn things. It was from the kids in the mall. It was awesome.
Exactly. You know,
anyways, that's baseball cards.
You would have been working at the mall when I was leaving Dixon's to go meet my parents at the mall.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's so crazy, man. It's so crazy in our lives.
You say 86?
No, that was
87, 88.
Yeah, 87, 88. Yeah. I left the mall 89, 90. I was going to Another World on lunch breaks the last year that I was there.
And I was working there, but not while you were working there. I don't know where you're working. I don't remember. I worked at Another World at the final 2 years in business.
Wait, which shop was Another World?
It used to be called Big League Cards and Comics, run by Ted.
Yeah.
George.
Well, that was, so to go back to, you know, where I got comics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my mom used to work at the Hunter Street branch of the Royal Bank.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right
so,
on.
Yeah. So, right. You know, after school, I would walk down, you know, to Big League, either Big League or Dixon's.
Yeah.
And just kind of wait for my mom in between those two stores.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So, I worked at Another World. Big League turned into Another World. I was there for the final 2 years.
You weren't there when it was Big League?
No, I was there. I was only there for Another World.
Ted used to tell me, I can't remember what he said, whether I was second or third on the poll lists at Big League.
I don't think I was second or third, but I was pretty close to the beginning, too.
I know I wasn't the first guy to get a pull list there, but I was pretty close.
Yeah.
I discovered pull lists from Ted.
That's how I discovered it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go here.
So you weren't there when it closed then? Did you move out of Toronto? Did you?
Yeah,
did you
I was.
Is that what you did?
I had left Peterborough to go to school in London.
Okay.
And then,
God, you look like 19. Like, how old are you?
I told you, he levels up.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what, you have like a friggin' portrait of that Dorian Gray friggin' painted in your
Dorian,
attic or
Dorian
somewhere?
Dorian Brown.
Go ahead. We're gonna guess everybody's age and weight.
Sell your soul.
Like at a carnival.
Sell your soul to the discipline. What did you do?
At a carnival.
Seriously, my God.
When were you born, Sam?
1975.
Oh, okay.
And what's your social insurance?
What's your sign?
Yeah, what's your favorite high school teacher?
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't even remember any of the names of my high school. That's not true. I just don't like thinking about high school.
We're just trying to find all your secret questions from your bank account. what's your pet's name? Your first pet?
My first pet. You know the name of my first pet. Name of my first pet. Anyways.
Comic books.
So
Before Sam talks about Luann.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to it. Just for everybody who is known, I didn't get to talk about Luann last week, so we have 2 weeks of Luann coming up by the end of the show. So now...
What are you reading nowadays, Kevin?
Yeah, tell me what you're into.
What am I reading now? Well,
let's kick out on stuff.
I just picked up Rebirth. I'm a little bit behind.
That's all right.
Rebirth is so good.
Yeah.
Now, were you a big DC kid or a Marvel kid?
I'm Johnny DC or
Marvel Zombie?
I'm in both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
But I mean, I like DC because they're like the traditional superheroes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like Marvel because you can be like, okay, X-Men could exist in this world.
Sure.
You know?
Exactly.
tell me, you know, we all have our favorite characters that we're all pretty obsessive with.
We do?
Yeah, Captain Canuck.
What are you talking about?
You know,
Dan's the Captain Canuck.
Wally West.
Dan's the Captain Canuck fan, not me.
Yeah. So who are some of yours? Who were your like top characters and the people that like, even if not even for comics, but just in fandom total, like who's the characters that are attached to your soul?
In Venom. Yeah. Let's see. I mean,
come on, you
Ninja
have
Turtles for sure.
You're one of those.
Oh, come on.
One of those.
Gilpin loves his Ninja Turtles. You love your Ninja Turtles, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, jump in there.
Yes, I love the Ninja Turtles.
Majority rules.
All right.
But yeah, no, I grew up like that. That's kind of one of the first things I started drawing kind of on a regular basis, and then kind of like learned, you know, musculature from drawing the turtles. And then, you know, getting into comics, finding out, you know, the black and white comic books.
So we're talking about like Black Panther and Moon Knight?
No.
No, Sam. Adolescent radioactive hamsters.
Oh, okay.
The ESPers.
All right.
What other black light comics were back then?
Black Lightning.
You're laughing, but I still have the Adolescent Radioactive Hamsters number one. Hey, it's going to go big.
You have that?
Yeah. And what was the one about the koalas? Interdimensional commando. Now I got to look that up.
Well, here's the thing. This is your thing. What's my top three favorite comics of all time? Stray Bullet, Strangers in Paradise, and Preacher. Okay, so two of them are black and white comics.
Yeah, but those are all like modernish comics. What about old comics?
What, like?
Well, I was talking like just the black and white Ninja Turtles.
Okay, okay. So we're back to Ninja Turtles.
So when I got into that and then realized that, you know, these guys were supposedly, you know, a bunch of tough guys as opposed to your cowabunga pizza-loving cool dudes.
For the ones from TV.
Yeah, it kind of just like kind of opened my world into, you know, the comic book world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it's so cool to hear that the Ninja Turtles actually were able to like guide you into that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Did you discovered them from TV first?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of kids did.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's awesome. So you went from the TV to the actual comics to doing comics.
Well, I don't know. My biggest claim to fame was actually meeting Kevin Eastman.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Too. And then, you know, kind of showing him, mm-hmm. my fan art.
Cool. What does he think?
Oh, he loved it.
Yeah, I've met Laird.
Yeah.
I got a Ninja Turtle he drew hanging up in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you able to get an Eastman drawn? Or?
I wasn't, but, interesting story was that I showed him those and, you know, kind of told him the story of how much he's influenced me as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he looked at it, he's like, these are amazing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, how much do you want for them?
Are you kidding me?
And I was like,
you wanted to buy your art?
Yeah. And I'm like, wow. No. Like, you know, you're Kevin Eastman. Anything with a Ninja Turtle on it
did
is
you,
yours.
Did you sell
right?
him something? Or
no.
Did you give him something? Okay.
Well,
did you at least shake his hand?
I shook his hand.
Okay, there you go. That was
and,
something.
And, I mean, long story short, I have a signed set of my Ninja Turtles by Kevin Eastman.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Brilliant.
That's so great. That's great. I love that. I love that. So you're saying you're reading Rebirth. Did you like? Have you just read the first Rebirth? Have you read any of the individual Rebirth books yet?
I just got it yesterday. Like, I haven't gotten
Rebirth.
A chance to read it. Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of chances to get to the comic store recently either, but I'm reading comics other ways until I can.
Don't even talk to me.
Okay. Yeah,
but that's the thing. Is like, now that Dixon's not here. Is there a place to get
comics? Yeah, there's Grey Guardian Games. Used to be called Jeff's Comics.
They sell comics?
Okay.
Yeah, well, they're...
Are you sure they sell
yes,
comics?
Yes, they
I
sell
I think
comics.
They sell magic cards.
Well, what they're going through an ownership change, right?
Yeah.
And the new owner is having some bumps along the road getting his account straightened out. And I guess some of his comics got delivered to Edmonton instead of Peterborough. And just, you know, Diamond being Diamond. And
yeah.
So there's been a good month where things have been a bit chaotic. But he got comics in on Wednesday.
Let me tell you something. This is the way I look at it. Is Rebirth and Captain America number one were the two hottest books in the world. And not a single issue copy came into Peterborough.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, right? And to me, that's what the Peterborough landscape is of comics right now.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for places like Comics at the Barn and the Lakefield Market, where you can buy comics on weekends. It's great. Go to the Barn. The Barn has both comics and records.
Do they really?
They
I had
do.
No idea.
Comics at the Barn.
There you go. Awesome. Fist bump. All right.
Not to go too far backwards, but my Google skills were a little bit slow. The number one Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle knockoff comic book, Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters. I have that issue. Tell me somebody awesome. Else here has that issue.
I do not have that issue.
Not me.
Preteen Dirty Jean Kung Fu Kangaroos.
I bet you have something you don't, though.
I don't have that one.
I do have the...
Here it is, the Koalas. Naive Interdimensional Commando Koalas. I have the first issue of that.
I do have the Beach Blanket Bingo comic book, though.
Genetically Modified Punk Rock Pandas? These are all actual books that were published, man.
Wow.
Aristocratic Extraterrestrial Time Traveling Thieves.
All right.
Wait, there's more. Cold-Blooded Chameleon Commandos. Immature Radioactive Samurai Slugs. That was 1990.
All right.
Anyways.
So back to Rebirth, because I love talking about Rebirth.
That's Rebirth is awesome.
Rebirth is so awesome. Okay.
Now, I'm a big giant DC. Everybody on the radio show knows that.
Me too.
I love DC comics. Yeah. And, you know, I have my favorite Marvels. I like the X-Men and stuff, but I'm a big DC guy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Hannah, is Green Arrow just knocking
it out of
the park?
Is Green Arrow not just knocking it right out of the ballpark?
I mean, this is, you know, everybody, I'm not one of those guys. Superman has pants. Put pants back on Superman. I can live with, you know, like an Elseworlds story. I can live with, you know, like Superman going radioactive blue and red with the lightning bolts, just because I know he's going to go back to the normal.
Yeah.
But then we got the new 52, and it was just a little bit off, and everybody's like, you know, oh, it'll go back to normal. Well, it's starting to go back to normal. Like,
yeah.
Green Arrow looks like Green Arrow. Green Arrow's behaving like Green Arrow. Green Arrow's acting
I think
like
with
Green
Arrow. With like new 52, they just had like these tiny little,
it just tiny got too,
little things.
Yeah. They lost their way.
Yeah.
And now they're finding their way back. And I read New Green Arrow last night, and I'm a huge Black Canary fan. Like, I'm obsessed with Black Canary, and that's the first time I've read the Black Canary that I grew up on.
Yeah, yeah.
The Black Canary that I fell in love with originally. And I've said many times that if I discovered the Black Canary now, I would not be a fan of the character. Like,
no,
if I discovered her a year or two ago.
The other thing you said is whenever Black Canary is in a Green Arrow comic, she's like a secondary.
Yeah, she gets less interesting.
Are you finding that?
Not at all.
It's only been two issues.
Not at all. And I'm going to tell you why. Is because Black Canary's, man, she's calling the shots. Like, she's telling him she's almost educating him in the way of the world.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm really pretty crazy about that. And I don't know, man. The Black Canary book they just put out recently, I could accept. It was all right.
Mm.
It wasn't the best Canary, but it wasn't the worst Canary. It was just, it was like, oh, I guess it's a placeholder, you know. But yeah, I'm loving what they're doing with the Canary. I'm loving what they're doing with Green Arrow. But the big one that really got to me this week, and if you couldn't get the feels from this book, was Titans Rebirth. Did you read it?
Yeah, I read it.
Did you not get the feels? Did it not just make you go...
A little.
What do you mean a little?
A little. I mean, it's good, and it's getting back to the good stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the characters, the costumes are radically different.
They are.
So that nostalgia kick wasn't quite as sharp.
What about...
But it is there. It is there.
The big nets between the personal connection between Wally West and these characters, making them a family again,
yeah,
making them
cool.
as people who grew up, and they lost this memory of them being friends, like a tight-knit family. Like, they're not even friends, they're family. And reconnecting with those memories and those very, very poignant memories that were written. I don't know who the writer... Dan, any idea who the writer on that one is?
No.
No.
See, the thing that I'm having with the Titans is the Titans book is basically going to be, you know, Titans Rebirth was basically DC Universe Rebirth 2.
Right.
Titans number one is going to be DC Universe Rebirth 3. Like, they're going to go and tell that story through the Titans book. So it's not really the Titans story. Yeah, it is kind of because Wally's involved, but they're going to explore that as opposed to fleshing out the character.
You know what?
Yeah.
I may be the only person out there who really gives a darn, but to me it's all about Lilith Clay. I was always a huge Lilith Clay collector. For years, she was my third favorite character in the DC Universe. Yeah. But then they killed her off really stupidly, and... Then you couldn't buy any more Lilith Clay because they killed her off and nobody wanted to bring her back. So I started collecting Stargirl instead. And Stargirl became my third favorite. But Lilith Clay, like, I'm so excited about Lilith being back.
Yeah.
I might be the only one.
Now, the one book, see, maybe this is the problem too, is that they've got some really kick buttocks books like Green Arrow that's really knocking out of the park. So when something like Titans comes along and gets a 9 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of 10, maybe that's getting a little lost on me in my pile. But I read Superman number one.
Oh man, the Superman and books are so good.
Superman number one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Like, basically, not to ruin it for you too much, but basically, the Lois and Clark Superman that was, like, in the shadows and stuff, he's the pre-Flashpoint. Yeah, he basically stands the there, and they go through this whole process in the story where he basically, like, oh, okay, yeah, this whole New 52 thing, this was garbage. I need to stand up. I need to step up. I need to show these people what the symbol means and what the symbol's for.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be, you know, it's time to reclaim my legacy.
A big thing
with
the Superman book, so it's written by Dan Jurgens, who did the Death of Superman stuff.
Yeah.
Which was, like, some of the best Superman books in modern
times. Yeah, that's the Action Comics, right?
Yeah.
Like Dan.
Isn't he doing Superman?
I thought Tomasi was doing Superman.
I don't know. I thought he was doing, like, everything. Dan Jurgens writes Rebirth. You know, I'd read that.
It's really good. The Superman book is awesome.
Yeah, the Superman stuff is amazing. I'm really loving the Titans. I've read pretty much everything. Some stuff's been lost at me, but this is one thing I was talking about last week, off air. And I wanted to, and I see that you made a little purchase this weekend that made me I want to buy that book off you.
You should slap the mic over there to Dan so he can tell you what he bought this week.
Okay, but let me just tell the story first, and then I'll give this over to Dan. You can sing in the mic with me if you want. Right? I'm so glad that she's my little girl.
This is where you hit the slider, Dan. And
See, we're like the Beatles, man. It's Sullivan. It's awesome.
You know how Zosky had the cough button when he started coughing? We need the discipline and Luann button. So as soon as Sam says something, we just mute the mic.
All right. Okay, so months ago... There's this running gag. Every time Dan Didio came to Toronto, I would always go after him about Swing with Scooter. Like, I wanted to swing with Scooter. Do you know what Swing with Scooter is?
Nope.
Okay, swing with Scooter. Marty, why don't you explain what Swing with Scooter is? You'll do it quicker than I will.
Swing with Scooter was a 1960s attempt by DC to make a modern, hip Archie comic.
Really?
Yeah, so he was a bit of a swinging kid, and he had the fancy kerchief and stuff, and he had his little gang of misfits, and they went on adventures.
So
and
it was like Poochie.
Yeah, and it was drawn in a very Archie-esque style.
Yeah.
So I collect Swing with Scooter. I love Swing with Scooter. And
how can
so,
you not be done? There's only how many issues? 32?
I don't know.
How can you not be done by
you that? Have more issues than I do.
You've been collecting all these years. There's not that many.
I know.
Has he crossed over into the Archieverse?
No. They won't bring it back for some reason. I don't know why. You know what's really funny is, you know how you have to put something on something to make sure you don't lose the copyright after? Yeah. They actually put it the first issue of Scooter on a cover of Animal Man, Grant Morrison's Animal Man. There was this issue with a psycho pirate in the cell, and he has all these comics spread all over.
Yeah.
And they actually put the Swing with Scooter number one in the cell with him So anyways, I always used to, like, every time Dan Didio did a panel, I'd be like, you know, I'd always be putting up my hand, right? It's like, yeah, you. And I'd be like, yeah. So when you're bringing back Swing with Scooter, every time I was in Toronto, I'd be like, Swing with Scooter, you know, what are you doing with that? So anyways, I remember the last time I ever saw Dan Didio, you know that hall when you're in the convention center where you're going from the one hallway to the other and you're passing. So I'm going down 1A, he's going down 1. He sees me, I see him, I smile, and he goes, I don't swing with Scooter. And it was like, it was awesome. It was so classic. So when they brought up Rebirth, I was all kind of like growl, like, what are they doing, right? So I made these jokes, and sometimes my jokes aren't very funny. Sometimes they bring a response. Sometimes they don't. Actually, I got a little bit of trouble over the last couple of days with some people at a major comic company over some jokes that you guys probably didn't see because you weren't on that board, but that's another story. Anyway, I made some joke on Dan Didio's page about, so when are we getting Swing with Scooter Rebirth, right? Like, and he wrote, he said that, and this was really interesting, as he wrote this thing, he says, you're more likely to get a Jason's Quest Rebirth. Well, Jason's Quest was this failed, really bad fail. It's actually considered one of the biggest failures that Showcase ever ran.
It was four issues, wasn't it?
It was four issues, but it was supposed to be more. It's just nobody was buying it, so they actually just stopped writing the story. They were just like, yeah, this is terrible. And it was about this hippie guy on a motorbike with his guitar looking for his sister. Okay, and that was what it was about. was called Jason's Quest, and I have all four issues. And Dan just got the first issue.
Dan's about to elbow.
Awesome. Where did you see that?
Dan's about to elbow you in the head if you squeeze him over against the wall a little bit.
Where did you find that? Where did you find that, Dan?
It was at the CBA warehouse sale. $3.
Oh my god!
But
man.
It's not in the greatest shape.
Oh well, I'll totally. If you want, I'll give you $10 for it.
No.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway.
We should do a live reading.
So anyways, I love...
And everybody's got to do it in a different cartoon character voice.
Okay, you know, but this is the kind of crap I love. Like, I just love this cheesy 60s stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so Dan Didio says to me back, he's like, you're most likely to get a Jason's Quest story. The story about a guy on his motorbike and his guitar looking for his sister. Well, we finally found out that Wonder Woman has a brother that she's looking for, that's a twin, that's named Jason.
I think you're grasping it.
I don't think I am.
She's riding around on her invisible motorcycle.
You think Wonder Woman's going to go on a quest to try to find Jason, are you?
Well, I think Jason's already on the quest looking for her. Mm. Jason's Quest, my friend. Mm. Jason's Quest. Dan Didio gave us a little hint there. He said that we were going to get a Jason's Quest rebirth. Hey, if they can bring back, what was that stupid green team?
Oh, right?
If they can bring back green team, they can bring back Jason's Quest.
Well, you remember First Issue Special? That was the title of the comic, and they did like a Warlord. His first appearance was in First Issue Special, and there was one called Lady Cop that...
How did that not become a TV series?
That's DC Comics' Night Nurse. Lady
Cop. Night Nurse was awesome.
It was just horrible.
And you ever read Night Nurse?
One of the issues was...
Oh, you got to read... No,
I know who
Night
Nurse is.
Night Nurse is brilliant. If you go to CBA, I know they can give you the collected thing for like $10.
Yeah.
Do it. Just do it. Yeah. Just do it. All right. Anyways, sorry I interrupted, Marty.
I think you'd rather read Luann.
Oh, yeah. Is it time for Luann?
No, okay, it's not time.
All right. Anyways, keep going, Marty.
Sam talks Luann. There you go. I'm going to do the jingles for you.
The jingles. That's what
I'm gonna do. I love this. All right. Okay. So anyways, keep going, though. You're talking about Green Team.
Oh, wow. It was just a dumb comic that came out for one issue about these kids that, you know, it's kind of like a Robin Hood type story. Well, then DC in the New 52 comes out with that Green Team series that they were like, what are you guys thinking? Like, they had the Batgirl of Burnside, right? So they had this, let's Batgirl everything. Let's just come up with these really wild and strange concepts, and maybe the next Grant Morrison will come out of this, or maybe the next, you know, and we'll come up with these weird things. So they, what was it? It was Green Team, or some other dumb
There was
book
some other book. I don't know, Gil Simone was writing it, so it couldn't have been that dumb, but I didn't
Pandora
buy it.
Pandora was out there. Okay,
when they killed her off in Rebirth, was that not just a mercy killing?
No, it wasn't. It was a very poignant, significant kind of, hey, look what we're doing. She's responsible for New 52, and she's gone.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That was so symbolic, and that was there on purpose.
And, you know, it was like the best part of that book.
Not to spoil the comic you haven't read yet.
I know.
Pandora gone, man. She's gone. She's deader than Barry Allen. I mean, Uncle Ben. Spider-Gwen? Gwen?
No, they're all back.
Okay, everybody's back.
Now, I do have a trick question. Is anybody reading Civil War, the new Civil War?
I read the first issue, but I haven't read anything since, and I forgot what happened in issue one.
There you go. Nobody else? Didn't think so. Like, it just seems like everyone is totally burnt out on the Marvel... Yeah. Super duper. We're going to release this big, huge thing that's going to change the product line, but the book is going to run late. So we're going to have to introduce the changes in the regular titles 2 months before we finish the special title. So everyone knows that Reed Richards is dead, but we can't tell everybody that he's dead because the comic hasn't come out that he's dead. But hey, guess what? Reed Richards is dead. But you know that because you already read this comic. Oh, for Pete's sake.
You know what's coming off of the heels of like the movie Civil War, right? And then they come out with Civil War 2 in the comic books. You know, it kind of, almost feels like it lessened the intensity of the first Civil War.
Agreed. That's just very right. Yeah.
Well, all of them do. Like, Secret Wars, the first one, was epic. It was just this, you know, I mean, it's a bit cheesy by today's standards because it was an 80s comic, but it's still an epic story.
Yeah.
Then they come out with the new Secret Wars, and you're like,
The you next know, Secret
You
Wars.
Know what's really interesting? For
Secret Wars 6.
You know what's interesting is during the New 52, I turned into a pretty much a Marvel guy. It was all Marvel all the time.
Yeah.
And even when they brought up that, what was that? That Marvel thing, the charts changed everything that none of us read, that you were just talking about, Marty.
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. Yeah, right. Thanks. No, not Secret Wars.
Battle World.
The Battle World, or whatever the hell that was.
Oh, Battle World.
No, that was. Oh, we're in Civil War, not Secret Wars. See, I can't keep this all this stuff straight.
Yeah, Civil War II. So the Return.
So when they came out back with Secret Wars, like I bought a lot of Marvel books. I was like, I'm all in for all of this. It's awesome. You know what's so funny? I've canceled almost all my Marvel books now, and I'm not even excited about any Marvel books coming out. I don't think there's a single Marvel book that I'm excited to read, except for maybe, I don't know, maybe Hellcat. But I'm like the only one in the world reading it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm aware. I'm not ignorant to the fact I'm the only one in the world reading Hellcat. You know? I know that. But I think it's the only one that I'm like, oh, Hellcat's out this week. Everything else?
Yeah, but is I've it lost out? Interest. Doesn't it have like a weird publishing schedule?
Nah, it's late and stuff? Nah, almost never. Hellcat's always on time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I just don't give a crap. So it's that's just because why you, I don't
yeah,
notice.
It's because you, did you even get the issue that Amy Miyahouse
no.
was in?
No.
Jesus.
You bought all the copies because you kept spilling coffee on them.
Anyway, this... all right. You know what we should talk about just to get it out of the way?
Oh God, here it comes.
Do the theme.
Sam talks Lewin.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So because I didn't talk,
I'm going to sit in the corner and pout.
Because I didn't talk about Lewin last week, we got 2 weeks of Lewin. Okay. So yeah,
you should explain to Kevin what Lewin is since he doesn't know.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, just follow along. Otherwise, we'll be talking about Lewin a lot longer than anybody really wants to. Okay. So basically, where we left off is, you remember Lewin wasn't in Lewin for a few weeks, but we were talking about Bernice is Luann's best friend, and Bernice has this whole... Stop that. This is my moment to talk about Luann. If you keep doing this, it's going to get longer, and I have 2 weeks to go through.
Do you need background music?
Okay, so anyway, so basically, Luann has not been in Luann. It's been all about Bernice, and Bernice is in love with Pyro, so she had this scheme to put together a silent movie night because Pyro's pretentious and kind of, you know, into that kind of crap. I'm also into silent movies. Does that make me pretentious? I don't know. Anyways, but meanwhile, Gunther, who's in love with Bernice, decided that he was going to show up. And so Gunther was there and Bernice was there and they're about to watch Nosferatu. And then this guy Hare showed up. So Gunther decides to bring out Bernice, says, okay, let's skip the movie because Pyro didn't show up anyway. We're going to go out for ice cream. They go out for ice cream, but meanwhile, Bernice is like freaking out. Where's Pyro? She's so focused on Pyro that she's not seeing the forest for the trees, right? Because Gunther, who's actually in love with her, who she should be getting together, is there. Well, anyways, they end up having this giant blowout. It was like Crisis on Luann Earth. It was fantastic. And they were like screaming at each other and just having it all out because why are you so worried about Pyro, right? So as they go storming off, but then they both knew they really kind of screwed up because they really should be together anyways. So Bernice goes back to the room where the Nosferatu was. She should have just stuck around because meanwhile, Pyro was always there all along watching Nosferatu. And he's like, well, why weren't you there? And she's just like, so Bernice's whole plan got screwed up and she's still single. And and of course, Gunther's upset. And Pyro, I don't even know what's up with him. It doesn't matter. Okay. Well, that storyline is now kind of on pause for a little while. Then came the Sunday strip, and I don't really read the Sunday strip because
it doesn't. More?
Well, yeah, there's a Sunday strip, but the Sunday strip.
That was only 5 days worth. He's got 2 weeks of Sunday strips.
Weeks. Okay.
I feel like I just walked into the middle of Game of Thrones.
So anyway, I don't really read those Sunday scripts because they don't real. Like, I read them, but they don't really follow the storyline. But there was a manscaping joke in this week's. Comics this week's a Sunday strip. I didn't really get it because I don't really know what manscaping is, and I did not want to Google that. I just had a feeling that was going to be a bad idea. But anyways, congratulations, Greg Evans, for a manscaping joke. Don't know what it meant. All right, let's go to this week. Okay, so
Sam, you do realize you just said that like personal hygiene is something that like is alien to you. You don't know what that's all about.
I thought it had something to do with like trimming your pubic hairs.
Everything.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Just waxing your chest, shaving
is
your legs.
I don't know. So now I know.
Plucking your eyebrows. Like, you
right.
Know.
This is how educational Lewin is.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, like shaving. Shaving's manscaping.
Is it? Is it really? Well, I'm shaved.
Yeah.
Okay. See.
You're a manscaper.
I'm a manscaper. Okay.
you're a manscapist.
Now I know that. All right, so let's get through this week, Luann, and we can move on to other things.
Okay.
All right, so this week is the end of the term in the university, Luann, as of course she's an art student. I don't know if you guys knew that. Did you guys know Luann was an art student?
No idea.
All right. Well, anyways, of course, we all remember Luann just broke up with her boyfriend, whose name I can't remember because I already forgot. Quill, right?
Nosferatu.
No, it was They were watching Nosferatu in the other storyline that they have temporarily put on hold. All right.
I'm really trying.
You're trying. I know that. So Luann,
you're a better man than me.
So anyway, so it's the end of term, and all throughout the entire term, Luann's been hanging out, sitting with these two other guys. I don't know their names. One's like a big, big, beefy jock guy who keeps on hitting on Luann. The other guy's like kind of this emo guy who's always depressed. Well, anyways, Luann wasn't even in Luann for 3 weeks, so it's kind of cool to see her back. You know, I kind of missed her. So they're walking out, and they notice the emo guy throwing his art into the dumpster. So they have this big conversation about what makes art, whatever, that happens for a couple of days. But meanwhile, it's just setting it up, the punchline, so the jock, big jock guy can keep hitting on Luann. But at the end of the week, and this is where it gets real exciting, because you're going to be wanting to read Luann next week to see what goes on. The jock guy remembered Luann's dog Puddle's name, and that sparked an interest. And now Luann is going to go on a date with the jock guy. You know this is not going to go well. Or will it be a love connection? I don't know. We need to go to gocomics.com, Luann, next week. It's going to be awesome when I come back next week. You don't have to read it because I'm going to read it for you. Do the theme.
Sam talks Luann.
All right.
Oh, gosh. That's just Dan sitting in the corner, squished up against the glass, going, "Help me! Help me!
I'm free!
Help me!"
I am totally getting a Luann tattoo. I seriously am. Right on my neck.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to go from here with that. I mean,
have you never seen anyone so excited over something?
Over Luann.
You're very passionate about it.
Oh, jeez. Passionate. That's one way of saying it.
All right. So anyways, we got a little bit of time left. What should we do for the last couple of minutes? Do you want to talk about cool things we read? What we want to read? Does Dan want to talk about?
Talk about that thing
you bought.
Yes.
That's so bald awesome.
Yes, I bought a comic this week.
Oh my gosh!
Wow!
No, so it's been a long process. Actually, I talked about it on one of our very first shows way back almost a year ago. And, well, not almost a year ago, I guess about 8 months ago, that it was my anniversary with my wife, and we decided to get each other some cool things. And the one thing that I said is, I want a really nice, expensive key comic, because I've never had a really expensive key comic. And she's like, okay, sure, you can buy that. And then, of course, other stuff came up where I went, you know, financially, it doesn't make sense for me to spend a whole bunch of money on this key comic. And so I put it on hold until Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I bought Marvel Spotlight number 5, first appearance of Ghost Rider.
Nice.
And CGC Slabbed 5.0. And Marty was a superhero and managed to get that picked up, even with a bunch of difficulties. So thanks again, Marty.
No, it was just an incredible, massive comedy of errors. And
it's amazing what Marty will do for his friends.
My social anxiety was at an all-time high, and I'm sitting in this Tim Hortons in Oshawa, and this lady knocks on my window. "Are you Brent? Are you Brent? You told me you were going to be driving a black Kia." And I'm like, "I'm not Brent. And does this look like a black Kia? It's a white minivan, for Pete's sakes, woman." Oh, man, there must have been 12 people in that Tim Hortons waiting for other Kijiji and auction bidders and stuff. It was hilarious. We're all standing there staring at our phones going, you, no? Okay. And by the way, Brent sold her an Olaf.
You look Olaf. Like a Brent.
An Olaf as in, like, Frozen's Olaf?
Yeah, like some Frozen Olaf stuffed teddy bear thing.
Teddy bear.
Just a stuffy? Okay.
It was the Imperial Toys 2014 first edition release. I don't know! It was Olaf!
The one with the real carrot
nose.
Exactly.
It's, I don't know. Limited to 1 of 50.
Marty, do you like warm hugs?
I have not even watched Frozen.
Why? Why? I've offered to.
I have
lent you.
I have
so many
daughters
times.
That have watched it a million times already.
You have a best friend who's watched it a million times.
You still haven't seen it?
No, I still
it's so good, isn't it?
And not for
go
any
with me
biased reason or anything. Like, I watch Disney movies all the time with the kids. I just haven't.
Yeah.
You know what I watched this weekend was Zootopia.
Zootopia is brilliant.
I think it's one of the most important animated movies ever made.
Is it a comic book movie?
No, it's not a comic book movie.
Oh, wait, that was Marty's line.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's one of the most important
It was really good.
Films.
It was really good.
I was just moved by it. And I think in today's world, where all the stuff that's going on in the U.S. and everything that's happened last weekend and, you know, Trump and all that, mm-hmm. we need a lot more Zootopia. And we need children being learning about social politics through cartoons like that. Like, I just couldn't believe that Disney tackled a subject, the subject matter that they tackled with that, mm-hmm. about tolerance and in a really clever yet often bleak way.
I thought it was about anamorphic animals.
Yes, but
I thought it was about Ninja Turtles or hamsters.
It's actually koalas. About, it's actually about a bunny cop. Okay, it's about a bunny cop.
If does Kevin it, does it know didn't ninjutsu? Write it, I don't want it. And just to go back quite a ways, I'm actually a Ninja Turtles collector. Now that I have the mic and can talk, Sam, I wish that who's that? Oh, man, I have a really funny joke, but it won't work because I can't remember it.
Don't you yeah. think that happens?
Yeah, because I just feel like I'm in that movie where you're putting baby in the corner here.
Beep, 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 yeah!
Okay.
No one puts Dan in the corner.
Yes, nobody puts Dan in the corner except for Sam. And when he does, he squishes the heck out of me.
With the mic, it's awesome.
Sam definitely has to have his own mic next time we do this, because this is weird. But I'm a Ninja
just
Turtles
because you
fan,
want me to
Kevin.
Stop singing classic Beatles, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. I am a Ninja Turtles fan as well, and nice. I've got a couple autographed books from Eastman and slabbed ones.
That's awesome.
I collect the slabs because I'm cool like that. And anyways, this is why I don't get the microphone.
You should. Did you see that number two that they got slabbed at CBA?
Number two, yeah, for the nine, was that 9.8?
Yeah,
that was like what, $600-$700?
$900.
Oh, man. Yeah. I did see that.
There you go.
As I walked by the case and went, nope.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw the Batman Ninja Turtles graded one.
Yeah,
yeah. 7.
Oh my
25.
Gosh, yeah. Somebody submits a Batman Ninja Turtles to CGC for grading. Well, he submitted a bunch of books.
Yeah.
Two of them, they're moderns, right? I can't remember what the other book was. I think it was like a Harley Quinn variant. Comes back 7.5, and I'm just like, oh, you must be crestfallen. You must be. He's like, well, I wasn't pleased with the grades. I'm like, well, what do you do with a modern book graded 7.5?
Yeah.
You put it in a time capsule and open it up in 100 years and hope it's valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then it's almost like about as valuable as one of those David Cassidy comics.
Yeah, like
which you collect.
Just which I do collect, I might add.
There you go.
Like just a few seconds ago, Gilpin sends me
crack
this
crack open
thing.
The time capsule.
I think we're running out of time though.
We're really out of time.
All right, so take her away.
All right, well, thanks Kevin for joining us.
Kevin,
you can
so
guys.
Much fun, man. Anytime you're back in Peterborough, please
for
come and
sure.
visit us again, all right?
We'll do.
This was awesome. Yeah. Pick up his book Neon Black. Did we ever even say what the title was? I don't think we did.
I think I did once.
Yeah.
Once.
I think
Neon
we managed
Black.
To squeeze it in once.
Well, you can find it on our Hey Kids Facebook page. We'll put a link or something up.
Excellent.
All right, so
sing
tune
us out.
In. Sing us out, yes.
Oh, wait. Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
the pressure.
Hey, kids, podcast.